Welcome to Australia.
Thank you.
As we're just saying, perfect view.
Yeah.
First time here.
First time, man.
I think you previously went to Sydney.
Went to Sydney, but I was only there for like a day and a half, two days.
Enough.
It was crazy.
Enough.
You think so?
Yeah, it's heaps.
It was like in and out.
Yeah, Melbourne's the place to be.
Okay.
It's a sporting capital of the world.
All right.
As you probably already know. Our biggest game in Australia is AFL, Aussie Rules Football, which I used to play as a profession, but basketball's slowly starting to creep in. What advice would you give to Australian kids wanting to be a professional basketballer?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, I think, you know, the level of play that's been coming out here recently is on par with the rest of the world. I mean, top notch. I mean, you guys got some of the best players in the world coming out of here, and it's not stopping anytime soon. And I think the most important thing is to understand that it's a matter of consistency, you know? So if you start playing at the age of 10 or 11 or whatever, it's not gonna happen overnight. You just do it over a period of time. And then by the time the kid's 17, 18, 19, 20, they're gonna be some of the best players in the world. So it's just consistency.
And we've got some great Aussie players. I think I just read this morning, Andrew Bogut, who's won a championship with Golden State. Season just got ended, but we're coming into finals at the moment. It's the grand final, which we call it. And Bogut's going to go back over to Golden State, they reckon, in a free trade.
It's a smart pick. Pick up Golden State.
Could go get another ring.
Well, I mean, he's a shot. He protects the rim very well. So I always felt like they were losing something when they lost Bogut. But Patty Mills is...
Superstar Benny Simmons.
Man, you guys got some...
Got some good players.
We
might give the Americans a bit of a run for the money.
I think so.
When they come out here in August, they're coming out here to play. You going to come out here?
I'm not coming, no. My days are up, man.
Yeah.
My days are up. Like, I watch from afar.
Yeah, I watch from afar.
But you got one of my young players that I like a lot, too,
Dante Exum.
He's got a lot of potential and a lot of talent. So
he plays with another Aussie bloke in Joey Ingles.
Yes, he does. He can shoot the heck out of the ball, too, man. Like, if you blink when you're guarding him, that ball's gone and it's through the basket.
He just looks like he's going in slow-mo all the time.
He looks that way, but he's not.
It
looks
amazing.
That way. But like when you actually guard him, he's actually moving a lot faster than he looks on TV. It's weird.
He pump fakes, everyone steps back, bang.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, being one of the greatest Lakers of all time, the great LeBron being a Laker now?
Well, if you look at the Lakers' history and their tradition, they tend to bring players in that have been some of the greats, right? And it's important to pass that on, right? So from Jerry West and, to Magic and Kareem and Shaq and myself.
Dream team.
You know what I mean? And now Bron, and now it's this era's time to establish kind of a new generation of a Laker legacy. So it's exciting.
Do you reckon his legacy would be a bit tainted if they don't make the playoffs?
Well, I don't think, like, there were times when Kareem first came to the Lakers. That first season, they didn't make the playoffs either, right? And so we tend to look at the history of the Laker organization and only pinpoint the highlights. But we forget the struggles that it takes to get there. And I think it's the struggles that we go through that make, eventually when we get to the top of that mountain, a more enjoyable.
I think most Lakers fans feel that way too.
Yeah, well, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you kind of just look at the moment and say, okay, we're going through a tough time right now. We got to look at the bright side of it and look at the challenge of coming out of it. Because, what other choice do you have? Just sit there?
I'm a pretty confident sort of fella. So when I played sport, I was pretty confident. I'd just take a photo of my five rings and send it to him. So here you go, Bron.
Here's a memory of the good times.
Now, mate, last year, which was an amazing effort, you won an Oscar. You're an Oscar-winning for the animated film Dear Basketball. Any more plans on making any more films?
Yeah, a lot actually. So, we've built a studio, entire company, and our company is just based on storytelling. And Dear Basketball was the first project that we launched. And we have more coming. We have a novel series coming out March 19th called the Roll of You Wizard Art series, which is focused on basketball and magic.
Yeah.
And kids dealing with their inner fears and being able to face those to help them become better basketball players, but more importantly, better people. So we have a lot more coming out of the studio.
How did you feel when you were sitting there and then your name got read out to go up and win an Oscar?
It's a crazy feeling, dude. I'm sitting there and I'm like, right directly in front of me is Hans Zimmer. And Hans Zimmer's composed like every, you know what I mean? As I'm sitting, I'm like, holy shit. You know what I mean? And I'm looking around the room and there's all of these Oscar winners, multiple Oscar, Meryl Streep, everybody's there, and I'm just sitting, I'm just happy to be there. And then when the category comes up, there's like a rush of like nervous energy that comes.
Did you ever have that playing basketball?
Not like that. Not like that. Because basketball is a sport that you can control relatively.
Yeah.
But in the arts, everything's so subjective. So there's not much you can do the night of this kind of competition, if you will. You're just kind of just sitting there. And so when they, you know, Luke Skywalker of all people, you know what I mean? Read your name and I was like, oh, what? Yeah, like this literally happened. Yeah, that's what I felt like. That's what I felt like.
Now, fast forward a year, you walk into that same room and you're an Oscar winner. Did you look at everyone and go, yeah. I'm one of those babies.
No, you know, it's like we talked about it in you know, when we were building a studio and after I wrote Dear Basketball and saying, okay, the craziest thing in the world would be if we actually won an Oscar. If we won an Oscar, that's it. We're not even, that's it. Studio's done. Shut it down. Pack it up, right? And then, whoa, wait, we just won one. And then you kick in, you're like, all right, well, we got to keep writing because we don't want people to think that this was like some kind of a fluke or something like that. And so it made us more hungry and more driven to create.
And I'm tipping it'd be exactly the same as basketball. You win one championship. People always go in AFL, in our circles, they win one and they go, oh, they'll get a hangover next year and they won't perform as well because the hunger's not there.
Yeah.
But the real champions train harder, work harder, and you're probably one of the hardest trainers of all time because you want to win more.
Well, the thing is that you like, if you truly love what it is that you're doing, then that's never an issue, right? So like, There's some athletes that love playing the games and playing in the championships, but don't really love training. Don't love being in the track at 4 o'clock in the morning when nobody's around.
You sound like you're talking to me.
Don't love, but everybody's different though. You know what I'm saying? So like, I love the process of it. And so the same thing with the studio. I enjoy editing. I enjoy sitting there and writing and rewriting and outlining. That stuff's fun. And so when we sit there and we try to create a piece of art that is the best possible work we can do. If this is the best that we can do, then we're fine. We can move on to something else.
When you were sitting there writing it in the studio, did you think Dear Basketball would have the effect that it did?
No. The thing that's, like, when I first showed the film to my wife and I had it on my laptop and I pushed play, right? And so she's sitting there in the room watching it and I kind of turn my back and I'm doing other stuff and I just hear her kind of sniffle. She's, I turn around and go, are you crying? She goes, yes. I'm like, why are you crying? Because I didn't write it for the, and then that kind of became the general reaction of people was kind of like sad. And I wrote it to feel like triumphant and like, you know, it made everybody, I mean, I guess, but you know, I was like, dang, I don't know anything about writing. Because I was trying to,
I've nailed this first time.
Yeah, I was like, damn, man, I was trying to invoke a different kind of emotion and now everybody's crying all over the place.
You must have been wrapped to get up there and get that award. Now, you just spoke about your wife. She's pregnant with your fourth daughter.
Fourth daughter, man.
Mate, how does it go with a house full of girls? Because I've just had my fourth daughter.
Yeah.
My wife gave birth to
congratulations,
little, thanks,
man.
Thanks, man. Little Toby a couple of months ago. So I've got four girls as well.
All right. So, you know, you're ahead of me.
Yes.
But I think our the similarities that we have in the household is we know pretty much that there's nothing that we can say. Because anytime we say something, we're basically speaking to ourselves.
Yeah, we're never right.
No, so you might as well just turn around and just speak to the wall. Nobody's listening to you.
I often do that. I say something to my kids, and they don't do anything, because I'm fun time dad.
Yeah, you don't.
But then
don't
when mum says something, they do it.
Oh, yeah, they don't listen
I'm
to you.
I'm like, how does that work?
No, they don't listen to you. And my kids would come up to me and go, hey, dad, can I have some ice cream? I'm like, yeah, I think you already ate dinner. I think it's cool. And they go, mom, can I have some ice cream? I'm like, dude, you just asked me. I said, yeah. I said, no, we got to check with mom first. I said, what did you ask me for? I mean, it's crazy.
Any of the girls basketballers, are they athletic?
Yeah, so our eldest daughter plays volleyball, and she's really focused on
volleyball's
that.
Volleyball's tough.
Volleyball's tough, man. And she's 6 feet. She enjoys playing.
Yep.
Our middle daughter is a basketball obsessive. She just learned how to play about a year and a half ago, but she practices every single day, and she's going for it.
Awesome.
She's going for it. And our little one, she's 2. I don't know what she's going to do, but this kid is a little tornado. Like, doesn't sit down for anything, climbing up her stuff. And like, you turn your back 1 minute, she's all the way over. You're like, what are you doing? You know, she's one of those kids, so I don't know what she's going to do.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Well, good luck in the upcoming birth.
Thank you.
Girls are the best. They do run the world. They tell me every day that they're the boss and we're just their servants. That's what they tell me.
Hey, man. That's a beautiful problem to have, brother.
Hey, thanks for coming out to Australia and mate, all the best.
Thank you.
Hope
man.
You win another Oscar.
Thank
Will
you.
There be a Grammy in the pipeline? Can you sing?
I can't sing at all, bro. You don't want me singing at all. So if we do win a Grammy, it's not going to come from my voice.
All right, mate.
Appreciate it.
Cheers, man.